It is that time once again, time for Heartline, the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno. The Evangel Home, blessing women and children in crisis since 1955. Here's your Heartline host, Jim Tuck.
Thanks, Ken. We appreciate you. We appreciate your being part of this Heartline radio ministry from Evangel Home here in Fresno. And as usual, we are in Jerry Brenneman's office. Jerry is here, and we have guest Patricia with us today. We generally have one of our lady residents who comes in and we hear a story. But we have a visual aid. I thought about turning the machine on a little early to get the sound effects of these big old papers. So you apparently have something on your mind, Jerry. Why don't we start there?
Well, actually, this just came to my mind when you were praying. And yes, it is. It's about five pieces of paper, the kind of paper that you put on an easel, and the kind of easel that you put at a meeting, and the kind of meeting where you say, hey, what are our goals for the next year? So last week we had our staff workshop at usually we go out of town or we spend the night somewhere and have a great time, but we didn't have time nor money to do that. So we went down to the street to First Presbyterian Church and used one of the rooms for information and fun, and then we got to use the sanctuary for worship, and it was just an incredibly wonderful day for staff. When, you know, just those days where you know you are so connected and you really are one, and you really are pulling all for the same thing and worshiping the same God. It was awesome. And then we were quite the noisy group, and we're having fun. Several people stopped by to say, I thought this was a retreat. It is. But during our serious time, when we're setting goals, we always look in the previous year to see how we did and to say, okay, what trend are we seeing? That several years ago, that's how we started the counseling center. We were seeing more people who needed deeper help and who had extended family who needed to be brought in for counseling. One of the trends we have seen, which was number 8 on our brainstorming session, was middle-aged women, how to help. Number 9 was mental illness, how to screen and refer those folks. We don't do well trying to minister to them deeply because they've got too many needs and too many that we can't even begin to define. But the middle-aged women, like our guest we have today, Patricia, we have seen more and more, and Jim, you know, the last couple of years, we've seen more and more women in that category. I think we probably have 3 in here now. I'm just thinking real quickly, and gray hair is not a good way to define someone's age. Otherwise, I'd be about 500.
Yeah. I was middle-aged at 19.
But I'm thinking, you know, it is not an unusual thing. So how do we help someone like Patricia? And I'm hoping, Patricia, you can give us some ideas today, maybe even. She's a mom of older kids and a younger child. She's had some drinking issues in the past. Where do you go at that stage in life where you need a change, you need a change of direction, but you also have people depending on you? At what point in life do you get to start over? And do you say, hey, this isn't working. I want another direction, and I'm not giving up. Some people would say, well, I'm 55, I'm 60, I'm 70, whatever. So what? I blew it.
Yeah.
No, we're seeing women who don't want to blow it, who really want that second chance. How do we help them better?
Yeah, so, that's great.
So here we are.
Yeah,
so,
those are important questions because there's a lot of that going on. There are people in my circle of friends, and I don't want to get too specific, need redirection, but they feel like they're too old to get help and to make significant changes. But we have today.
Yes, we do.
We have today.
And you know, Jim, I can't say I've really prayed about it yet. I don't think I have. But one of the things I'm very concerned about is as I see the employment picture in our country and in our world getting dimmer and dimmer, it's as if someday jobs aren't going to be important at all. And I'm very concerned about that because not only do we need the income, it just adds a part to our character, to our life, to our existence, to be useful like that. Where does someone like Patricia, and Patricia, I will use you today because you are the you're the visual aid that we have besides the paper.
That's okay.
And you can answer those questions. Where does she go for a job?
Mm.
She's done live-in care, correct?
Yes.
That's a hard job. And anyway, I have a whole bunch of whys today, and we're probably not going to answer them. But those are our concerns, and that's the trend we are seeing, is our women are coming more mature.
Well, we've got X amount of time, and we're not going to solve all those problems today. But wonderful questions and deserving our thoughts and our prayers and consideration of, is there an opportunity for us here to move in those directions and how best to do that? Well, Patricia, we like to say you're not here because you hit the corporate glass ceiling. Your world was obviously askew that Evangel Home became a necessary part of your life. What was going on? How long have you been here? Let's start there.
I've only been here a couple of weeks. I was in another facility because of my alcoholism.
How long has that been an issue for you?
Actually, a lot of my life.
How did it start?
Well, drinking, I am in my early 50s, and I think drinking in my younger days was just a thing. We had wine at dinner at my parents' home. So I think it, and then as I grew older, drinking was there. And so alcoholism does run in my family.
At what age were you encouraged or permitted to make that part of your dinner?
Even at 5 and 6 years old, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, that was the time back then in the 60s and 70s we did those things. Our parents, you know, it wasn't as like it is today. I would not encourage it. My daughters are older. They do not drink at all. Obviously, my son doesn't. He's only 8. But, it was always there and available, and it's available, and you have to be strong enough. And I look back at it that my family... alcoholism does run in the family. Mm-hmm. So
you were in a program to dry out.
Right.
And what then? You just felt like, I got to have more than this? I mean, I can't go back to where I was? I mean, why Evangel Home, and how did that referral come about?
Well, it was recommended by the other program and my daughter. And then, like as Jerry says, you know, I was an LVN. So then when that person passed on, then I was living in his home and taking care of him, so I was kind of just in the bind, and that's where I picked up the drinking again, which is, you know, it all just kind of, and I thank God, and I thank my daughters for recommending me, and I love it here. It's a wonderful place. People have been very good, and it's encouraging. We share a little bit of our lives, as much as you want to, and it's nice to have that comfort that you're not alone. And I'm out looking for work, and I can't get back in the field. I'm not too old.
Yeah.
You know, you're never too old to take that next step. And you know, we've got a nice place here to come home to, and I'm just looking forward to getting back out in the workforce, and I feel great about myself right now.
Hmm.
I really do.
You know, Jim, that does it. I go back to my questions, though, because one of the reasons she feels good about herself is she is here. Mm-hmm. She is in a home. Mm-hmm. And I keep thinking, okay, for people like Patricia, what if we just had a home and it wasn't a program and it was close by, and right. So there would be strings attached to their living with us. But for people in that situation that maybe don't want to go through a program but need a job and need a safe, secure, and alcohol-free place, that's kind of what we're praying about. What can we do that's a little bit different? There are not a lot of places for single women. And by single, I just mean without children. And Patricia is not in that category, but she kind of is. She doesn't have her son all the time. So again, for a middle-aged woman without any little people, it's really tough.
Yeah.
So what can we do that's going to help that category of people?
Yeah.
I don't know. Patricia, you got to give us the answer before you leave.
A couple of us have talked about that. Facilities, that there does need to be more, and maybe that would be something I might even look into. Because of friends of mine a few years back, we talked about, because it's hard to own your own home in the way economy is, it would be nice to have group homes, and it is, you share responsibilities, but you all go out and do your work and take care of business, but you have some people to come home to, you know, whether you're... Yeah, whether you have children or not, but we all have family somewhere, but we can make our own little family to help take care of each other in today's world. It's nice to have the comfort of friendship, you know, and you don't have to share everything, but you have something in common. You all want to, you know, better yourselves, and to have a nice home is what we are all thriving for. I don't want to, and retirement is hard to think of, and I am still active, and I can still do things, so that's
Having that designation, the LVM, and a work history puts you at maybe a little better advantage than a lot of the women we see here. But I want to turn the direction a little bit, and we've talked so many times about how alcohol is a very difficult master. What will change when you walk out these doors? What will change that you stay away from?
Well, a lot of it is my children. Myself and my children, and I realize you have to come to the point that you realize, and I let the alcohol come back into, it's been in and out of my life a few times. I let it come back when I lost the friend that I was taking care of, and that's not the answer. So that's one thing I have learned. That's the step, that just because certain things do go wrong, you don't turn back to those old things that you know you don't like anyways. You don't feel good when you're, you know, or you feel good at the moment of any substance.
Are you considering an ongoing 12-step program?
Oh, yes. Yes. Okay.
Have you done that before?
No, I have not. No.
Why not?
I don't know. I thought I had it under control. Yeah. And there's times that I do. You know, I've gone for, you know, years without. Or even if it's just been months and stuff. But, you know, different times I've stopped. You know,
and when it comes back, each time it's going to come back worse.
A lot of times, because, yeah, now, and I was talking to a girlfriend of mine. She's going to be clean and sober for almost a year here soon. I was just talking to her yesterday, and she's talking about how good. And, you know, we talked about when you come in, especially when you decide to quit again, those DTs are tough. So think of those and think, I don't want to do that again. I really don't want to do that. But just, yeah, no, I'm better off for my children. I'm better off for just everything, you know. Then you love getting out in the garden. You love coming home with the paycheck and saying, and cooking a nice meal, you know.
Yeah, I, you know, you need to,
you know,
you change those relationships out there and get that support on a daily basis. Right. I am an alcoholic today. I will be dry today. And you can't ever let go of that.
No.
I mean, that's been proven historically in 100% of the time.
You have to remember, it's out there. It's right in your face.
Yep.
But you don't have to make that step. You don't have to.
Well, we're out of time. Thank you. It's good to talk with you.
I could probably talk forever, huh? She knows me. I just start talking to people.
Well, it's good to hear your story. Thank you so much for coming
out
and sharing.
Thank you.
We hope our listeners will have learned something today. And they'll know better how to pray for us and what's going on here. Jerry, always a treat, and we'll talk more about other stuff down the road. My listening friend, thank you for joining us. It's always an adventure and a treat to tell you what the Lord's doing here under the auspices of the Evangel Home of Fresno.
The Evangel Home of Fresno, find them online at evangelhome.org. That phone number in the 559 area code, 264-4714. God bless you. Thanks for joining us this time around. We'll chat with you next time around for Heartline, the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno.